Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast on Tuesday, the 27th of April, 2021. On the podcast today, Glenn Goodman, and we discuss crypto. Is it a bubble? Is it about to pop? And we've been having this discussion for a while, and of course there's rallies, of course, and even in bear markets there's massive rallies. And we're just thinking now, we had a big sell-off in Bitcoin, it's rallied, is it a bear market rally? So we discussed that. Also, on the podcast at the end, I have two lists for you, the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours, and the top five most read RNSs too. You can see this. Both these lists at voxmarkets.co.uk. There's an article there on Gaming Realms as well. There's plenty of content there. There's one on Vast Resources rallying today. There's one, in fact, there's a video worth chatting to River and Mercantile portfolio manager George Ensor discusses the UK small cap equity markets with Paul Hill. Check that out right there. There's also an article on 88 Energy. And of course, you know, you've got to check out the COVID-19 index, worth checking out all the time. Been rallying for a few days now. Novacyt up 12% again, close to 13% to 577. Biggest fall of the day again. Wow. Hemogenics has fallen again. Fell yesterday. And that's down 10%, 2.625 pence. You can check that out at voxmarkets.co.uk.
Vox Markets is an online community of investors that runs a free mobile and desktop platform that allows you to track news and updates about any UK-listed company, offering RNS push notifications, detailed charts, pricing data, and much more. Find out more at voxmarkets.co.uk/app.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Glenn Goodman. He is the crypto trader. He's got a book to prove it. I mean, that's not his title. That's the title of the book, of course. He doesn't walk around with a badge on saying the crypto trader. Or do you, Glenn? I don't know if you
yes.
do that.
Oh, okay. Yes, I do. So and even in my own house.
So, yeah.
Even when I go to
exactly.
bed.
So it's not Glenn Goodman. You just have a badge saying the crypto trader. That's it.
It's all anyone needs to know.
Yeah, it's all you need to know about me. Nothing else. Nothing else whatsoever. That's all you need to know, guys. I trade the crypto. And in fact, crypto's had a very interesting week, isn't it? Last week or so. It's had a big sell-off, the Bitcoin. And it's had a big bounce now. And where are we at the moment? Let's have a look here.
Sort of midway back up, really. The sell-off is... It's looking quite strong, but I mean, the... it's only made up less than half of its fall.
Yeah,
so
but yeah. So it's gone from 65,000 pretty much down to like, I think it's 47,500 or something like that. But it's bounced back up for that. But yeah, this bounce is telling, isn't it? Because like I said, you know, I've got on the chart that the RSI is, we had a series of lower highs, even when it's hitting higher highs in the price, which is divergence. That means momentum strength is coming out every rally. And now that hit 30, right, the RSI. And I did tweet about this. I said, it's not done that since back in, the Dash for Cash. And it fell by 52% back then when it did that. In fact, it went down below 30. It took 14, which is nuts. But it bounced on 30 and it's gone back up now to 55 or 54, 55. It'd be interesting to see now whether, like I said, I suppose the key is, can it create a new high from here? Because if it doesn't, if it's a lower high on the price, that's weakness, isn't it?
Well, what's interesting really is that a lot of the...
I'll be the judge.
...alternative...
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, you can judge whether it's interesting. A lot of the altcoins a lot of the other cryptocurrencies are looking much stronger today than Bitcoin is. Some of them are almost making new all-time highs, some of the smaller ones, and Ethereum in particular is looking very interesting because it's almost like, you know how in the stock market you get a rotation and a new leader emerges, and it's not necessarily the stock with the highest market cap. It could be something slightly lower down in the rankings, but it will take over the kind of the running for the sort of the movement upwards, whereas the biggest stocks will sometimes take a break for months at a time. I mean, we've seen that with Tesla, for example. Mm-hmm. And something similar appears to be happening here in crypto because Ethereum has taken over from Bitcoin as the leader. It's, as I speak, it's almost back at its all-time high again. It's, you know, while Bitcoin has made up less than half of that decline, Ethereum's decline has almost reversed itself completely already. So my feeling is, and actually the probably the most telling thing of all is if you look at the ETH/BTC chart, Ethereum against Bitcoin, so cutting USD out of the equation altogether, so here to ETH, look directly at ETH against BTC.
Yes.
Look at it on a daily chart.
Okay.
And what you'll see.
Yeah, hang on. ATH. Oh, I've got it wrong here. BTC. Okay, got it. Yes. Sorry.
ETH BTC. Yeah. So what you'll see is it was very high against Bitcoin, you know, back in the boom a few years ago, the first, not the first boom, but the 2017 boom. And then as everything crashed in 2019-2020, Ethereum fell even more heavily than Bitcoin and reached its nadir in late 2019. That was when it was at its lowest relative to Bitcoin. Mm-hmm. And then it's been rising slowly ever since, creating what we chartists might call a rounding bottom, or perhaps an inverse head and shoulders, if you want to. Well, whatever way you want to look at it, you can see it fell, it turned in a little circle, a semicircle around, and now it's at a key breakout point. You can draw a resistance line going all the way back to 2018. Mm. And it's at, can you see, it's at that key level.
Yeah, so like but do you know what I don't like about this, though? Again, I'm looking at the, in fact, the RSI has been a lot higher than this previously, so I'm not that worried. I hold some Ethereum, not a lot, you know, not a lot. Just I just think it is, Bitcoin is at the asset, I understand that, and but I think it may get regulated against. But I think, like I said, Ethereum is more like the internet, isn't it? You know, people are creating things on it all the time.
Yeah, and I've been looking through my opinion.
I've been looking through other coins and that, and they all start saying it's an Ethereum-based, you know, app or decentralized app, and all everything's based on Ethereum. I'm thinking, hang on, it doesn't make any sense that if this is the technology of the future, and all Bitcoin's good for is pretty much storing value, maybe. Because
I still don't even buy that line. Because people all the time now routinely refer to it as store of value, and yet it doesn't store value so much as play an extremely volatile speculative role in creating value and then losing it when it has a little crash.
Well, I suppose so.
And then creating it again. But it's not a store. You know, when you hear the phrase store of value, you think of something safe and reliable.
No, I don't mean that. Let me say one thing, though. What I'm saying is it's an asset. It's the best performing asset. In fact, before it was, people sort of called it an asset. People are still questioning whether it's an asset, of course. In fact, a lot of the bankers are questioning whether it was an asset. And I think, who is it? This one of the banks, it was in NatWest, I think, they said they're not dealing in crypto at all and recently. And so there's still people questioning it. And I always laugh at the people that question the money laundering thing. Like, money laundering has to be done for thousands of years of cash, you know?
It's
a bit more traceable than cash. Surely Bitcoin.
Exactly.
So I don't understand that
Bitcoin
argument.
Bitcoin is useless for money laundering. It's a stupid argument. It's made by people who are paid an enormous amount of money to run central banks and yet don't seem to understand the absolute basics of how currency works, how a digital currency works, and yet they're going to create their own central bank digital currencies without even having a basic understanding. Mm-hmm. It's very depressing.
So what I'm thinking of is, if this tech is, you know, has longevity, then surely what it's based on, Ethereum network, That's the thing to hold. And that in itself will be a store of value because it's, I mean, that's real value because people have been, they're using it. You know, it's a valuable, valuable platform. And apart from that, I hold two others. What is it? I don't know. They are even. No, one is Algo, which pays 6%. On Coinbase, it shows me lifetime rewards. $2.34 I've earned so far over the last few days on that. That's all right. And it's ticking up. And also one I just bought, because it's the smallest on Coinbase, was District Ox, because it just rallies because it's small. But I say small, that's in crypto terms, not in real business terms. And I still think they're valued. I don't know how they are. Are they valued at that? Or is that just how many coins are? I don't understand. I don't understand. What isn't it? It made me even read about the tulip mania thing the other day, because I thought, are we in this? I understand these. I'm not questioning the validity and usefulness of the tech. I understand decentralized, you know, applications and all that stuff are very useful. But I'm just thinking, are we in the hype stage of this? And of course we are. We're going to look at it relatively. Yeah. Of course we are. In the hype stage. So that's when valuations got the window. But we know with any hype stage, after a while. You know, it's a limited period of hype. You can't keep hyping everything forever. In the end, It comes down to how useful is it? How long will it be useful for? And then, like the internet, like I said, everything doubled overnight pretty much. When companies, small crap companies on AIM, were changing their name to .com, and they were doubling overnight. And then all of a sudden, most of them just crashed and burned over the next year or so.
Well, we had a perfect example of this last week. Now, the question to you is, can I say something like a rude word? Because the thing is that the cryptocurrency itself is
oh yeah, you can say that. Yeah, I've heard of it. Yeah, come rocket. Yeah.
Yes. Oh, look at me! I'm so childish, laughing just because you say the word.
The ultimate, like you said last week, you pointed out to me that Dogecoin, you've got Doggycoin. It's a joke. Yeah. It was a joke. It was a joke. And that was bigger than most.
This wasn't made up as a joke.
No, what
this
I'm saying is, but that's symptomatic of the crypto space. One of the best performing stocks, it's worth $50 billion, is a joke. And it's almost like the people are having, okay, trade it. But at the moment, as these valuations, it's one big joke, I think. And I think it is. You know, people are sucked into it.
It's fallen heavily. I mean, look, you know, people who got sucked into that, you know, Elon Musk jokes about it all the time. But I think it's extremely distasteful because he's one of the richest men in the world.
I know.
And he jokes all the time about poorer people basically being manipulated. This is what he's really joking about. That's the subtext. And sometimes it comes out more blatantly, like in his recent remark about loads of people will probably die when they go on the rocket ship to Mars or whatever. What was it? I want to get his exact quote. Musk Mars. He said, a bunch of people will probably die when humans fly to Mars, he says. And, he doesn't say this in that would be terribly, terribly sad kind of way. You know, he says it in a because people, sometimes I get the impression that people are just like little playthings to him. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's the feeling I get from Mr. Musk. And likewise, him pumping Dogecoin is all fun and games for him. But a lot of people have lost a lot of money because when it reached its peak after he was pumping it and it got to sort of 46 cents, it then plummeted down in just the space of a few days to 15 cents. So it lost two-thirds of its value. It's since recovered some of that. It's now back up to 27, but which is still, you know, almost half of the top value that it reached. So a lot of people, a lot of probably not rich people, have lost a lot of money very quickly because of the stuff that he keeps saying. I don't know. It annoys me. I just see him as yet another plutocrat, but in disguise. Yeah. So if he's disguising himself as a man of the people, but he's not. He's just another Louis XIV.
Yeah. No, I think I think he doesn't know what he's dealing with. I mean, he's, you know, you're dealing with people, you know, like we assume that people are similar to us, you know, all the time, and they're cognitive and they're lucid, and they're not. There are people out there, you know, with mental health issues, maybe a bit, you know, left of field, you know, not thinking that straight. They've got money, they may be in debt even, and they believe, you know, almost they worship probably him, and he doesn't understand. He's taking advantage of them, you know. So
I've got a little anecdote to illustrate your point. if you're up for a quick anecdote, because it's totally unrelated to cryptocurrency, so I'll do it quickly. But some years ago, I had to go and interview when I worked for ITV News, you remember, as a correspondent. I had to go and interview Simon Cowell.
Yeah.
God, why is it slip my mind? What's the name? The X Factor.
Yeah, that's obviously.
I was going to interview him about the X Factor, right? And this was back in the earlier days of the X Factor when he was still being incredibly rude to people who didn't seem like they were all there. Right? Do you remember?
Yeah.
And, you know, some of those clips are still viral. And I said to him, you know, do you not think that what you're doing is perhaps a bit evil? I accused him of being evil because I said, you know, you're taking very vulnerable people and you're just laying it right out there on the line, telling them that they're useless. They're never going to amount to anything with in music. And, you know, bear in mind, these people are obsessed with their musical career. And he was like, no, I'm not evil. You're the evil one because you want me to lie to people and I want to tell it to them straight. And I said, yeah, that's all very well if you're talking about normal people. But if you're talking about, you know, what would you call them? People with special needs. He had people with special needs trundling them onto the stage and then basically insulting them. And I thought that was completely out of order. Anyway, in the years since, you may remember I was vindicated because there were a number of little scandals where people were harming themselves and stuff because of things that had happened on programs like The X Factor. And he toned it all down after that. Was much more careful. So, I mean, you know, it's the same kind of thing, really, as I see, as Elon Musk. Yeah. Because it's, you know, people who think that they're incredibly brilliant, basically manipulating people who don't have the same faculties as them.
Yeah. I think Elon Musk is worse, because, you know, at least these people who come up and sing, you know, they may have, a lot of people agree with Simon Cowell. You know, and say they are a bit crap. You know, they are rubbish. They shouldn't be singing. Yeah. They should forget about their dreams. But with money, people, I suspect, are getting burned. You know, really are losing money. And he's just treating it like a big joke. You can, fella, because you're a billionaire. And in fact, you're making money. I think you made a bit of money, didn't you, from selling Bitcoin? Tesla did, actually. I just think he's not realising.
Well, he's setting them up for a fall.
Yeah, he's a full spectrum of people there. They're not capable of having mental capacity and thought.
It's the same as the Simon Cowell thing in the sense that it's setting people up for a fall, because Simon Cowell obviously, you know, was behind that program. He wasn't just the presenter. He was, you know, an important key player in the whole operation. So he had a role in bringing those vulnerable people onto the stage, as well as then telling them that they were useless. And likewise, you know, Elon Musk is kind of trundling newbie traders into the arena and saying things are going to go to the moon. And then when they don't, they lose their money. They lose their life savings in many cases.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, any news happening on...
Okay, so we've done Ethereum against BTC. So just to sum up on that, I'd say, yeah, it's looking very exciting for Ethereum, definitely. That chart, the ETH-BTC chart, looks like... You know, I mean, it could have another leg downwards first, but it looks like it's on the cusp of breaking out from that very long-term pattern. And if it does that, typically, when we see a breakout from a pattern that lasts for 2 years, you're going to see a big move, potentially. Yeah. So anyway, I've got my finger on the trigger for that one. As ever, I don't buy until the breakout actually happens, because it might not happen. Just because there's a pattern set up doesn't mean that the natural conclusion will actually take place. So I wait until it's starting to take place and then I jump in there. Other news. Ripple say, and this is quite an interesting one for the future, for the long term, the Ripple co-founder has basically said that he's very worried about the whole using energy in Bitcoin thing. Because it uses a proof of work system, the Bitcoin miners, as you know, use up huge amounts of electricity, creating new Bitcoin. He doesn't see this as sustainable in the long term because Well, because of public pressure and political pressure, obviously. The argument that's usually made against that is, look, Bitcoin is potentially performing a useful service. It can be an entire financial system on its own, and therefore it deserves to be using large amounts of energy, just like our traditional banking system uses huge amounts of energy in various ways. And then people also argue that Bitcoin miners are increasingly turning to renewable forms of energy. And so it will all be okay in the long run. I guess so in the very long run, when everybody's using purely renewable energy in decades to come, then it'll all be fine. But until that point comes, Bitcoin continues to use large amounts of fossil fuels as well as renewables. And Chris Larson of Ripple says that that isn't sustainable, and he'd like them to change. They'd have to make a major change to Bitcoin in order to move to a system like Ethereum is currently moving to, proof of stake, where you don't use huge amounts of energy mining anymore. So Ethereum is becoming one of the good guys shortly when it moves to proof of stake, but that is not the case for Bitcoin. It continues to use huge amounts
of
energy.
Go on. So Ethereum is proof of stake. Explain that again. So I always hear this, the proof of stake and difference between... So what happens with proof of stake? Just holding it? Is that the case or what?
Yeah, basically you get... users will send fees to the network, and so-called validators will be the place that people who replace the miners. They will validate transactions that take place, and they will get paid fees for doing that. That's proof of stake in its essence, whereas proof of work, which Bitcoin uses and Ethereum still uses, is the thing where the work is done by the miners and then they get paid for doing the work, which is a very secure way of doing it. This is the problem, you see. This is why people are reluctant to move to proof of stake, because proof of stake isn't thought to be as theoretically secure a system as proof of work. I mean, it's to some degree... you could see it as a pedantic argument. There's security and then there's super security and then there's super, super security. But it does matter. It does matter because one of Bitcoin's main selling points, of course, is that it is utterly secure. It's impossible to almost impossible to hack the system. It's never been hacked, blah, blah, blah. And if you mess with that, if you start tinkering with that to please the environmental lobby, then it could all go horribly wrong, potentially.
But this is going to happen in the future, though, isn't it? Surely, like I said, the biggest farms are in China. You know, coal-fired power stations are what they're using to mine. China's got a 2050, you know, environmental or carbon neutral sort of policy. So something's going to happen or change here, isn't it?
Well, maybe it'll just be the move to renewables. Maybe that will solve the problem and Bitcoin will never have to change its system and never have to make any big software update that could steal its magic. Maybe we'll just move to renewables in time to avoid that decision having to be made. But we'd better move quite quickly to renewables. Yeah. I don't know. How long? Well, I suppose we're talking a few decades, aren't we? We'll have to wait and see, but it's something to worry about.
It's not an end straight away, is it? I mean, it'll be a sliding scale, of course. It'll hit sort of targets. But I'm thinking this, right? If Bitcoin is so power-hungry and so unenvironmentally friendly, they're going to lose Bitcoin. You're not going to beat the environmentalists, because that's a growing wall backed by regulation, you know, backed by every government in the world. So when it comes down to it, if it is Bitcoin against the environment, Bitcoin will lose, won't it?
Well, if that's the case, and you could well be right there, then they will have to move to renewables more quickly. Already, because Bitcoin miners are able to put their warehouses full of computers pretty much anywhere that they like in the world, they can move to wherever they want. So that makes it much easier to capitalize on renewable energy, obviously, because you can move to very specific locations where renewable energy is cheap. And that has been happening to some degree with Bitcoin mining farms. And I guess that can increasingly happen in order to please the environmental lobby. And as a result, Bitcoin would no longer be seen as environmentally unfriendly. Or, I mean, look, if it's going to cost more to mine because of this, because you're moving to places where renewables are and they're not necessarily cheaper than using fossil fuels, mining will become more expensive. That could possibly become a bit of a drag on Bitcoin's price, potentially. Mm-hmm. That's something to bear in mind. I'm We've only got a few minutes left, so I want to move on to Britcoin. Have you heard about this?
Yes, I mentioned it a while back, but what was it? Did Mark Carney mention it or someone? Who is it?
Mark Carney's been talking about central bank digital currencies for a while, but he's obviously gone now. So now Rishi Sunak is finally involved, which is why people are suddenly taking the proposal seriously. He's asked the Bank of England to look at the possibility of creating a central bank digital currency for Britain, mm-hmm. which has inevitably been dubbed Britcoin. And I mean, look. It's very early stage. They'll have to do a ton of consultations. They'll have meetings. You know, this stuff will drag on for years probably, won't it? Like things always do. Yeah. So I'm not too excited about Britcoin, but really it's just another sign of the inevitable move that all major economies are making towards central bank digital currencies. Central bank digital currencies are like cryptocurrencies, but are run centrally, so they don't have the benefits of Bitcoin in terms of being decentralized. They could potentially save a lot of money and make moving money around internationally quick and cheap, which would be good. Though, again, I'm not sure that the benefits of that are that wonderful because, frankly, the traditional banking system has been moving towards systems where you can move money internationally quickly and cheaply. I don't know if you've noticed over the last few years, but it's a hell of a lot quicker and cheaper to move money. So those benefits are not as wonderful as once they might have seemed, sort of 5 or 10 years ago. And there are a lot of downsides to central bank digital currencies, such as the potential for governments to spy on you by seeing every single transaction that you make on their ledger. Yeah. The other problem is the banking system could very easily be cut out altogether because central bank digital currencies are issued by the central bank and they can be given directly to people. And before you know it, you just don't need bank accounts anymore. You just have a digital wallet where you keep your money in and the money comes directly from the central bank, transfers to and from the central bank. So would you even need the traditional banking system anymore? The thing is, most governments have already decided they don't want to destroy the entire banking system. They think that would probably be a mistake. And plus, central banks aren't really in the business of borrowing and lending to ordinary people. And that would be a whole thing that they might not necessarily want to get into. So China has found a way around this with its central bank digital currency, which is launching quite shortly. Their solution is to have a kind of two-tier system where digital money will be issued by the central bank, but then given to the commercial bank. And then the commercial banks will then sort of manage the digital wallets and give the money to the ordinary people. And so that way they're kept in the loop. So it's kind of like purposely keeping the expensive middleman in the equation. But then that's because they think the expensive middleman is performing a useful service, you know, judging credit worthiness, lending out money to people, et cetera, et cetera. And the central bank doesn't want to do that.
Yeah. But no, do you know what? I had a bit of a discussion with, he's a value investor pretty much on a Friday called Paul, and he couldn't believe I bought some cryptocurrency. and he said, it's so bad for the environment. And he said, you know, all this stuff. And I said, let me just point out three things. And three points. I said, as far as it being an asset concerned, or he said it's a nightmare, Bitcoin, I said, it is pretty much an asset. An asset is what people think of as an asset. If everyone thinks it's an asset, it is. Gold is the same. It's useless. You can't buy anything with it. You can't go to the shops and buy, you know, a pack of crisps or a chocolate bar with gold. It'd be ridiculous. And it's hard to carry around. It's very heavy. As far as carbon footprint is concerned, gold is massive. It's not only created a huge amount of carbon through mining, but it's also created wars, people being killed over it, everything. It's hard to transport, carry around. And so this generation are not going to buy gold in any way whatsoever, not even funds. They're going to buy Bitcoin. So it's the new asset. It's probably going to be more powerful than gold ever. Environmentally, same with gold. Gold has always been bad, but innovation, where there's big money being made, that's the way to drive innovation. Now, people will invest. Already there's new coins, aren't they, being mined off, like I said, alternatives or renewables, or they're about to float, or they say they are. So that's happening because we've got this 2050 carbon neutral target. So money drives innovation. That will change. And he said something else. I said, well, so you can argue at any point you want, you know, on gold versus Bitcoin or anything like this, like it's ridiculous and all that stuff. But, you know, it hasn't been hacked into, the technology, for 10 years. It's only going one way. Apart from it, and he said the countries will regulate against it. I said, yes. But he said, like, China and Turkey. He said, China and Turkey. Look at those countries, let's be honest. First and foremost, they're regulating against it because they probably wanted to form their own cryptocurrency, which validates the technology of Bitcoin. So, you know, it's both sides of every argument, isn't it? You can be really anti-Bitcoin. You say, hang on a sec, what's the alternatives? And the fact that governments are setting up their own coins says everything, doesn't it, really, you know?
Yeah, I mean, you know, this is the way things are going. I think anybody who's still in, there aren't actually many people in denial. You've met one of the few people who's still holding out. I've just noticed in recent weeks and months that all the people who used to say this is a load of old rubbish have seemed to be coming around to it now. Yeah. Which might be the sign of a market top, I suppose. They're the capitulators. But I mean, this is the thing. I wrote an article about this last week for this. Yeah, it's private. You can't see it at the moment, but I'll publish it publicly when I'm allowed to. The point is that at the moment, you've got a situation where crazy things keep happening in the world of cryptocurrency that in any other market would be mark a market top and crash the market, you know, like the most ridiculous, insane things happening. But in the world of cryptocurrency, it just seems like every week brings a new level of insanity. And that's what I was thinking to myself last week when I read about Cumrocket. Cumrocket Crypto, there's a picture of a girl called Lydia. Right. She doesn't even have a surname. We don't even know what her surname is. There's just a girl. She looks about 18. Her name's Lydia. She's the CEO of Cumrocket Crypto. And the market cap has gone up more than 1,000% in days. And it reached more than $200 million, market cap. Last time I looked, actually, let's have a quick look in case it's because it might have gone even higher. Let's have a look. Cumrocket. The tokens are called cummies, by the way. Right, oh no, it's had a little bit of a correction, but so at its peak, the market cap was about $200 million. It's now slightly below that. You know, and this is nothing. Basically, I read their white paper. You know, every crypto brings out a white paper explaining the token economics, the how the coding works, all of that kind of thing. I read their white paper, and it looked like it was written by a five-year-old, for other five-year-olds to read. It was written in massive print so that they could fill a few pages. You know, it's like, we haven't got much to say, so we're going to write in really big letters. And there was nothing, hardly anything technical in there. I mean, honestly, I just can't believe it's worth $200 million. Imagine a company on AIM that was basically, you know, a bit of rubbish written out on a piece of paper, and then it's worth $200 million. I mean, would that happen on AIM? I don't think it would. It might, you know, something like that might reach a few million in market cap, but not $200 million.
I know this just says about the hype. We are in the hype stage of this. It's a bubble. It is a bubble. I mean, I think it's going to pop. I really do. And the fact that it's almost because people are invested in it. They're invested in the hype, in the bubble, you know? And it really is the extreme of confirmation bias. And you just believe it because you're in it. And so you're in the bubble. It's probably hard to see. And if you're standing back and see it from a great distance, it's a big bubble there. If you're inside it and 1,000 people are in there, all show, hey, you don't know you're in the bubble. I think, like I said last, I still hold. Of course, the tech is there, and it's very impressive, and it'll have longevity. But I think we're doing 95% sell-off. I think to get to realistic levels.
I kind of agree with you, but the problem is, as you pointed out, you know, Ethereum looks. I mean, Ethereum is such a great piece of technology, and when we look at the ETH BTC chart, it looks like it's about to take off. Though I guess, because it's a relative chart, ETH against BTC, what could happen, of course, is the market could crash massively and ETH BTC could still take off even if Ethereum and Bitcoin themselves are both falling against the dollar. As long as Ethereum doesn't fall as fast as Bitcoin against the dollar, then ETH BTC will break out and take off. So, you know, it's all very well. What I'm saying is it's all very well getting excited about ETH BTC and going, oh, it's going to have a massive boom in ETH. But the massive boom in ETH relative to BTC could still take place within the context of a wider crash in BTC, ETH and everything else, if that makes sense.
Yeah, cool. Well, I've got ETC and I'll watch that. What I'm going to do now is when I get in profit, though, I'm going to, you can transfer your stocks over to Pro, you know, over to Combis Pro. I'll put some stop losses in because I think I like the tech. I just don't like the price I've got it at, and it may need to come down a lot lower than that. And but again, you may see this Bitcoin now, for example. When you get a bear market or anything, it's very volatile, isn't it? It doesn't just go straight down. You see some nice rallies, some cracking rallies in a bear market. And then people think, and that's why people find it hard to see a top of something, because they see these rallies. They go, see, it's back. But then it goes down a bit further. And then every leg drops down and rallies back up, and then legs down. So, yeah, it's hard to spot a top.
It is hard. And it does worry me that this is kind of similar to what happened in late 2017, that, you know, when I famously gauged the top or near the top of the 2017 market, what was interesting was that Bitcoin tops before most other things. So I was selling my Bitcoin in late 2017, right at the tail end of 2017, but I was still holding on to other cryptos well into the first month of 2018. They took a lot, some of them took a lot longer to start crashing. And so likewise, you could draw a parallel here where Bitcoin is struggling a bit, even with its recent recovery. It's still struggling a bit compared to other cryptocurrencies. You know, maybe this is Bitcoin slowly forming a big top and the other cryptos not following yet, sort of being at a bit of a lag. I don't know, that's just a theory. But personally, my feeling is that this ain't over yet, even with Cum Rocket going to the moon.
But this is the top.
There are always new levels of crazy. Something more crazy will happen next week.
No, but surely this is the. These are signals. You know, these are flags, red flags.
But we've had things like this for months, and it hasn't. Yeah, you know, when it gets, they just get crazier and crazier. They just keep upping the ante.
I suppose Dogecoin was. I thought that was the most stupid. Yeah, but Cum Rocket now is topping that. Phenomenal. And it's almost like looking for the next big stupidest cryptocurrency you can find to jump in on it. You know, that's how you make money. It's like, what? Are we insane? Yes, we
are.
You
know what would be the most insane thing of all, and it could actually happen, is that Cum Rocket could actually become, despite its pathetic white paper, if the code is done correctly, then it could potentially become something that does quite well, because it does, you know, the idea behind it is that it would be for the porn industry and that people would be able to buy and sell images and videos and stuff using the technology of Cum Rocket, you know, a bit like the NFT. It's a sort of it's an offshoot of the NFT craze.
Yeah.
So we'll be looking pretty stupid in a few years' time when Cum Rocket is the new Amazon. But anyway.
Yeah. Cool, marvelous, Glenn. And it's almost like that day we're sitting here when I think Bitcoin will drop like 60% in a day or 40% in a day. We'll say, that's it. There we go. Because after a while, the first leg down you get, like we've just had, people don't believe. They think it's just normal correction. This happens every month, pretty much. When you get a second one down, it breaks, you know, previous support levels. I'm talking about, say, 45,000 seems like a bit of a support level there.
Yeah.
When it breaks that, you think, oh, hang on a sec. And then you get selling, really begets selling then. And then almost, you know, what's it called? Snowball effect, an avalanche, you know, that'll start happening. So,
I mean, the levels to watch for people, first of all, 47-ish, because that's the low that we just made a couple of days ago. We just made that a couple of days ago. So if it breaks that, then obviously that's what you're talking about. That's a bad sign, and it will shake a lot of people's confidence. So that's 47. The next level down, I would say that's significant, is 43,000, because that was the previous major low. And if we get down below that, then it kind of says this entire rally that we've been experiencing since February is a washout. So that would scare a lot of people. The next level below that to watch would be 38,000, because that's where the previous leg started taking off in a big way. That's when, basically, once you get down to the sort of 37,000 level, you've wiped out all the gains from 2021. And again, that would scare a lot of people, because there'd be headlines about that. All of Bitcoin's gains for 2021 wiped out. You know, that would make a lot of new traders think, what the hell? I was told that this was like the market of the future. My friends said I had to put all my money in it, and now that's happened. Yeah. So that would be psychologically important.
Yeah. Marvelous stuff. Cheers, Glenn. Speak to you next week. And who's to say the Bitcoin won't be at like 20,000 next week? Who knows?
Or 100,000.
Yeah, yeah, oh, exactly. Yeah, and it's been fueled on by some kind of ridiculous coin that comes out. Yeah, why don't you get a Glenn Goodman coin just with your shiny round smiley face on there, Glenn? That'd be nice.
Oh, I'm so annoyed I didn't do that years ago. I'd be rich now. Rich, rich, richer than Croesus.
I thought you are rich, Glenn.
Yeah, but not, you know, not. You're saying, not, oh,
yes, I am rich, yes.
Rich.
Buy my book to find out how to get rich.
Yeah, the people who are seriously rich are the ones who set up things like Cum Rocket and then make $200 million in 2 days.
Exactly.
You know?
But I think these days, the get rich quick coin, right? And that even, be as simple and stupid as that, and people would buy into it. It's unbelievable how many stupid people are out there. And I think the get rich quick coin would do well. Just like tongue in cheek, it's, you know, it's funny. People find it. Let's do that, Glenn. Let's do that. Just write the white paper. It doesn't have to be a lot. Like I say, it can be done in crayon if you want. And we'll just get it out there.
Yeah, let's do it.
Don't sound convinced. Okay, cheers, bye.
I just can't be bothered.
Okay, it's time for the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours. They are at five. Palarian Imaging up 4%, 77.5. At four, Litigation Capital Management up 6.15% to 85.98. At three, Escape Hunt up 3.33% to 46.5. Been going well for the last few days. At two, Truefin up 4.4% to 95 pence. Of course, James on the podcast yesterday. And at one, Abingdon Health down 30%. Wow, to 57 pence. I guess I had some results out there, some news. Let me just check that out. Let's have a look. Oh, yes, they did. Okay, at five, most read RNSs, Rambler Metals and Mining financial results for the year ended 31st December. At four, 8 Energy operations update. At three, Vast Resources, Beats Supply update. At two, Tizion Life Sciences, B. Riley Virtual Neuroscience Investor Conference. And at one, Abingdon Health trading update. They give guidance for the full year 2021. And they say full year 2021 revenue will be in the range of 11.4 million to 17 million, with adjusted EBITDA of 3.3 million loss. So I assume that's why it's dropped a little bit right there. That's it for the podcast. Thanks for listening. Muchos appreciado.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Every business has an ambition. PayPal Open is the platform designed to help you grow into yours. With business loans so you can expand and access to hundreds of millions of PayPal customers worldwide. And your customers can pay all the ways they want. With PayPal, Venmo, Pay Later, and all major cards. So you can focus on scaling up. When it's time to get growing, there's one platform for all business. PayPal Open. Grow today at paypalopen.com. Loan subject to approval in available locations.